And he's here tonight to bring us to the Lord's table as well.
Thank you. Praise God. It is such a joy to be with you. This is my 36th year of the study group. And I started coming before some of the people I invited were born. And I'm going to, Mr. Chairman, take the privilege of eldership and old age and seniority by saying I've invited probably the single largest group outside of the United States, the Jamaica. Speak to Brother Guy and Brother Brent, they can tell you about scholarships. You are recipients of scholarships. And so the new people you bring, you must pass on the blessing to them. There's another reason why I wanted the Jamaicans to stand, is that I have a special request from my Hebrew friend, Marty. Marty is a Jew. And as Jean was saying to me last night, you have never seen more passion in a Christian than a Jew who has found the Messiah.
Amen. Amen.
Now, when I met Marty, he introduced his conversion in a very humorous song that I haven't heard him sing for a long time, that I want the Jamaicans to hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is a song where my son, the doctor, my son, the lawyer, and I won't tell the children. So, by special request,
oh
my, and so much I want him to do it, I'll speak a little Hebrew with him. So, we will then invite him to sing this, especially for the newcomers and the Jamaicans.
Okay, wow, we special request.
No pressure.
When you get a request from Jamaica, man, you gotta do it. Okay, well, special request. I used to live on tips, so tips are not required, but. Okay.
Where's your tip jar?
Yeah. I hope my change box is working out okay for everybody. So, Tony was saying that, you know, we have a DVD back there that has my testimony and my wife, my daughter, she was really little then, but it's a live concert that we did in Toronto, with at the Crossroads, Christian Television, quite a few years ago. And It's called In Concert, but it's originally called Psalm Enchanted Evening. And this song features what Tony was talking about, because my parents are gone, my wife Jenny's now are all gone, but, you know, I always tell people, you know, from my background, when I went to the place today to get my hand stitched up, Linda and John took me, and when I opened the door, the doctor came in. He looked like he was 12. And I said to him, "Are you the son of the doctor?" He got so offended. He went, like, I haven't heard that before, you know. And I had to grovel at his feet and beg his forgiveness for him to forgive me, because he was very offended. But I said to him, "Look, I'm from a Jewish family. Every Jewish mother wants to say, my son, the doctor, my son, the lawyer. There's not one Jewish mother that wants to say, my son, the gospel singer."
Yeah.
Christian friend told me, Christian friend and singing partner told me about my Messiah. And there was one Jewish mother who could say, my son, the Messiah. Because she was able to say that, a guy like me can come here by special request from a Jamaican, play this song. I had my bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see. Complete with a chopped liver statue of me. Now, they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your father's abode, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's that ever was.
please. My own calling in the body of Christ is that of a teacher of the word. I'm a systematic Bible teacher, and I usually come well prepared with notes and PowerPoints, which I did yesterday. Not very often in the many years that I've been teaching the Bible, the Lord says to me, do not speak on what you're going to speak on. Speak on something else. And he did that yesterday. I was going to speak on the Passover Seder. Where's Mark? I was going to tell you what the Passover meant, what the Last Supper meant, and then blend it into the communion. The Lord said to me, in no audible voice, but just a gentle thought in my mind, he said, there are people here who are brokenhearted. Speak to those people. So I believe there are some people here who this message is just for you. And the title of it is Healing the Brokenhearted. So if your heart is broken, if you're suffering some pain, emotional turmoil, the Lord is going to meet that need this evening, I believe. So let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that you heal the broken. That Christ took our sorrows and bore them away, Calvary. And so let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Turn in your Bible with me to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version from verse 16. And it's Jesus. The background of this chapter, this passage is Jesus has come out of the wilderness and he's beginning his ministry. And he comes back to his hometown in Nazareth. What he's going to do on his first preaching assignment in Nazareth, or one of them, is to announce who he was and what his purpose was. Can you hear me? We're going to start at verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. We're going to read down to verse 19. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. I know you say, well, how do you call it?
Isaiah.
We say Isaiah. We are British. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, brokenheartedness is one of the major problems in the Christian church. There are many people that you see in church on Sundays who are in pain over some turmoil. And a lot of the pain they feel comes as a result of rejection. Now, I have a whole teaching on this, which is over an hour long. I've compressed it into 15, 20 minutes. So I'm only going to deal with two, and the two I'm going to deal with are the two forms of emotional pain that I have suffered, and that the Lord has said to me, there are people in here who are suffering from the long effects of these open wounds in their souls, and they need to be healed emotionally. Brokenheartedness sometimes comes from rejection. Rejection comes in many forms. A husband can reject a wife, or a wife a husband. Parents reject their children. An employer can reject an employee. The definition of rejection is this. It's a sense of being unwanted, or the sense that although you want people to love you, no one does. Now there are two forms of emotional pain I want to deal with, which I have experienced, and I believe it applies to some people here tonight, even if it is one person the Lord has told me to preach this message tonight. One is a rejection of a parent to the child. And in the particular word tonight, the particular word here is of a father who has rejected a child. I don't know if that person is a male or female, but that rejection is on you till this day. And you need to be delivered of it because Christ took it. My father rejected me. I won't go into the reasons why. But it wasn't until shortly before he died that I was able to deal with it. It scarred my life until the Lord showed me that I needed to put that at the foot of the cross. The second area of pain in the life of a person is the death, especially the inexplicable death of a child. Jean and I have suffered that. And believe you me, you may feel that if you have got over it, but until the Lord delivers you from that pain, you remain trapped. And it surfaces at some unlikely times. You find you're weeping in a particular context. You just break down and cry. You don't know why you're crying. A lot of times it's these emotions that are coming as a result of your heart being broken. Now, brokenheartedness and the pain of rejection can lead to bitterness. Bitterness leads to self-pity. Self-pity often leads to suicidal thoughts. And it hinders the work of God. One of Satan's tools in the church is to hold us in feeling of guilt and feeling of pain over something that happened when we were a child of 12 or a child of 6 or even a young adult. And we need to lay that down tonight to realize that Jesus took it. How do you deal with that? You have to take a radical solution to it. In Matthew 3:10, Jesus said, John the Baptist says, now is the axe laid to the root of the tree. If you do not deal with emotional hurt, it's like a root, and even though you lop off the branches, unless you go to the root, it will spring up again. What is it to go to the root? Is to have a revelation of the atonement. I think our brother Eric has been telling us about the road to Emmaus and how their eyes were closed and finally opened. Until your eyes are opened, spiritual eyes, to what Christ did for you on the cross, there's so many things you will miss. But I'm just dealing with the divine exchange on the cross. Here are some. Jesus was punished so that we might be forgiven. He was wounded for our sicknesses so that we might be healed. He became poor so that we might become rich. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. Jesus became sin for us so that we might receive his righteousness. Jesus took our rejection so that we may gain his acceptance. Friends, our Lord was rejected far more than you and I will ever be. Listen to Isaiah 53:3. He's despised and rejected of men. That rejection he took for you and for me. Right? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did esteem him not. The Jews rejected him. They chose Barabbas. Peter denied him, and on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that awful hour, the Father reached down his gigantic fist and gathered up all the pain you have ever endured. And he thrust it on the bosom of his Son. And Jesus bore it. And when he bore it, he said, it is He was bearing that pain that you are still carrying, that you need to release. That rejection of your father. That inexorable death of a child that still brings you pain. God needs for you to be freed of it. And God wants you to know that you're accepted in the beloved. He didn't just take our rejection. He gave us something else, his acceptance. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3-6, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, in which he made us accepted in the beloved. Friends, Christ has accepted us. It does not matter what we have done. The blood avails. It doesn't matter how low you have sunk in life. It doesn't matter how you have failed, how many times you have messed up. It doesn't matter whether you feel you're worthy, you're not. Christ is worthy. The time to come to God is when you feel you're not worthy. We can never be worthy enough. But Christ, let me tell you something. It's at the lowest point in your life that you find something lower, the cross. The cross is the lowest point of humanity. And when you have stepped so low in life, you can't step any lower. You look down, you see the cross with Jesus and his hand stretched up to meet you. God doesn't want you to clean yourself up and come to him. He wants you to come to him just as you are. He will clean you. He doesn't want you to deal with the rejection. He wants you to bring the rejection to him. And he will. He doesn't want you to deal with the pain. He wants you to bring the pain to him. And he will deal with it. Now, there's something you have to do. You have to learn to free yourself. And to forgive those who have rejected you. You know, forgiveness is one of the key things that will turn a new page in your life. Forgiveness. Now, friends, I learned something. Forgiveness is not for the sake of the offender. It's for your sake. Forgiveness is enlightened self-interest. When you forgive, you become free. Two examples. In the 70s, a friend of mine called the Reverend Derek Prince was in Jamaica, preaching in the ballroom of the church, and he told his story. That he was praying for a lady with rheumatoid arthritis so bad that her hand was in a ball. And she came up for prayer. And somehow he found out that she needed to forgive her father. And he had learned over the years of the deliverance ministry that forgiveness, lack of forgiveness, often causes physical symptoms of illness. And since I became a paramedic, I learned that when you hold bitterness and resentment, you produce more hydrochloric acid. When you produce more hydrochloric acid, you get more inflammation. Arthritis is an inflammatory disease. So is asthma and those things. And a lot of times you're using medicine to heal what should be healed spiritually. So Prince said to this lady, you have to forgive your father. And your response was, I cannot forgive him. He said, but you must forgive him, Father. I cannot forgive him. And he kept going like that. Till he finally said, why can't you forgive him? Her response, because he's dead. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he got this word of wisdom for her. He said, go to your father's grave. Go over the grave and say to your father, Father, I forgive you. Because guess what? The forgiveness is not for your father, it's for you. This is a true story. She obeyed him, and the moment she did that, the arthritis left her body. And I have heard of a young man who journeyed from Florida to Michigan to visit his father's gravesite. After years of bitterness, and just by visiting him and saying, Father, I forgive you, his life was changed. Whom do you need to forgive? You see, sometimes they get confused with emotion, believing forgiveness is emotion, but it's not an emotion, it's a decision. We don't live our lives by emotion, we live our lives by decisions. If I loaned you some money and you couldn't, and you signed me an IOU, and you can't pay me back, I have a choice. I can either sue you, or I can forgive the debt. What do I do when I forgive the debt? I simply tear up the IOU. I may not feel good about it, but I have made my decision. You have to tear up some IOUs against people who have offended you. You may not feel good about it, but you simply tear up the IOU. When you do that, God pours His grace upon you and releases you with greater power and authority. So tonight, I'm asking you to lay down bitterness, resentment, bad feelings. Families hurt each other. Some of the deepest pain in our life come from our families, not our in-laws, our own children, our mothers, our fathers. And some of you here need to lay that down tonight. One final thing before I close. You need to forgive yourself. It's so easy to forgive others at times and so hard to forgive yourself. But you have to forgive yourself. Because you have to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love yourself, you must forgive yourself. Forget what you did wrong. Put it under the blood. And say, Father, forgive me. And He will. I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads. And I've spoken to some people here tonight. At least one. You have been hurt and you're still carrying it. You thought you had released it, but it has surfaced again and it keeps coming up. And it's in the back of your mind. You want to lay it down tonight. And you want to do that. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want me to pray for you, just simply stick your hand up and say, yes, I need to lay down something tonight. That message is for me. Yes, I see that. Yes, I see that. I see that. Don't be afraid. You can put your hand down. You can put your hand down. Yes, I see it. Well, yes, I see it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to take it one step further. All of you who raise your hand, stand. Please stand. I'm going to ask Brother Guy to join me up here. And Pastor Mike, why not come up to the front? Let's walk up. I'm going to ask the elders of this fellowship to pray a prayer of release for you. Come, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Some of you need to release a father, a husband, a wife, a mother. We're going to release those people. Before I ask Mike and Guy to pray, there's somebody who needs to say something. Somebody needs to say what she is releasing. Quickly. That's you.
The pain of rejection of my father.
But this is one of the reasons why the Lord gave me this. I didn't know that when there was somebody here. Has anybody been rejected by a mother?
sacred moment, we come to you, Jehovah Rapha, the healer of all our diseases, the one who forgives all our sins. Father, you have put your hands on each one of these because you love them. You want to lift them up. You want to wash them clean of the very thing that they've harbored for years, perhaps, of anger, of rejection, of depression, of all sorts of sicknesses and burdens upon their heart, of tears spent in self-pity. Father, we lift up our hands unto thee, you the healer, heals all these things. So we come to you and bless you. Bless you, Lord. We crawl on our hands and knees before thy throne of grace to kiss thy feet, to worship you, to lift up the name of Jesus, the washer of all our sins, the cleanser of our diseases, the one who is able to touch us in a special way. Each one according to his need and according to his desire. So, Father, we come before thee to ask for that bounty of thy blessing and the forgiveness of our sins. And we lift up all these burdens and we cast them at thy feet, thy holy feet. For you have borne them on the cross and you will take them away. And we thank you. You are our everlasting Savior, our Lord, our King of Kings, the one who makes new all that is dead, who brings to life that which is without life, and restores those relationships which have been broken. We ask thee, O Lord, to express your love to this group, to all of us whom you look upon, and even those who have not come, who have some hidden, deep malady within them, as they sit in their seat. Touch them too, Father. Encourage us. Put your arms around us and draw us close to yourself. Wash us in the sweetness of thy forgiveness and release. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One in peace, your faith has made you whole. Talk somebody. Bless them.
And I saw your deep passion, then I knew.
Before I turn over to our brother John, I want you, CD, to do something for me. You're sitting beside somebody or near to somebody. I want you to turn to that person and to pray for that person, a very short prayer of faith. And then the person will pray for you. All right? This is an interactive ministry. Just pray for the person. And you don't ask him what he needs prayer for. Ask the Lord to give you a prayer.
Can I pray with you?
You can.
Thank you.
Wrap your arms around it.